tuned in to the K-State Radio Network and our Friday edition of Agriculture Today. Welcome. Grain market comments coming your way first here. Dan O'Brien is standing by from his office in Colby, Northwest Kansas. He is a K-State Research and Extension grain market economist. Dan, eventually here as we talk this time around, we'll get into your updated price prospects for corn and wheat heading into 2018. But let's step back and look at what's going on with grain exports. We find that in the feed grain complexes, corn and grain sorghum are actually, business-wise, going in opposite directions.
Yes, the shipments for exports for grain sorghum this week were 5.2 million bushels. That, when I say this week, it's the last week that the USDA Foreign Ag Service has reported on it. It'd be the week ending November the 2nd. 5.2 million bushels, we need a pace of about 4.3 to meet the USDA's projection. So as grain sorghum sits, it has 13% of the USDA's projection, about 210 million bushels, actually shipped, about 41% total shipments and orders together, and here we're about 19% of the way through the marketing year. So that's a positive. Actually, on the corn side, the USDA's projection, its anticipation, isn't that bad of a number, about 19.25 billion bushels, but we've been slow at the beginning of this marketing year. Again, the last full week of numbers that we had, again, for November the 9th, was at 16.4 million bushels, and we need about 40 to meet the USDA's projection. So running off to a slow start for corn. Now, again, once we get harvest all out of the field and ourselves in position to compete strongly in world markets for exports, that could change. It seems that, at least at this time, one of the reasons for a slow start is just price competitiveness. It seems that the Brazilian net price in the market, by the time you look at currency and their cash prices they're offering at their ports, they're down a bit lower than we are, at least at this time. So we'll see where we're at as we move along and Brazilian supplies start to fall shorter in terms of availability. I don't doubt that our numbers will move higher, but at least at this time, when our futures market, cash markets, are in a doldrum without question, gosh, it'd be nice to have stronger exports to help spur that market on.
On the other hand, again, grain sorghum exports are termed positive, maybe even bullish. Is that being reflected in local grain sorghum basis, in local prices, as we have these mounds of sorghum stacked up out there again?
You sure see it in the basis levels. That Salina on yesterday's market closes November the 16th. We had grain sorghum basis at 15 to 20 cents under these futures. Corn basis, same locations, 45 to 47 under. You look at Hutchinson for comparison, corn basis 25 under. Grain sorghum basis in Hutchinson, again, with a variation of locations, some terminals, some other farther out country elevators. The best basis bids were at 15 under, again, a dime advantage. So in the central Kansas markets, which are set up all that much more to feed the export market, you see the basis differential. When you look at out into western Kansas, even there, grain sorghum and corn basis bids are about par. At the Colby location, you got grain sorghum basis about 40 under, corn basis about 42 under again. So even there, grain sorghum a little bit to the positive. And you look down to Scott City, corn basis 20 under, grain sorghum basis, though, at 50 under. So again, it varies out to the west, a little more consistent to this in the central and east in terms of grain sorghum basis levels and prices being very competitive with corn.
Before we leave the export discussion, though, let's throw in a word about soybean business. The general drift of that is that sales are rather positive and maybe even toward the bullish side on soybean meal.
Yes, we had, for the week ending the 9th of November, we had sales of about 316 metric tons. We need a pace of about half of that to meet the USDA's projections. So that was an outstanding and really kind of an exemplary week, and that the weeks prior to that weren't as much. So that's a positive, of course. For soybean, unprocessed soybeans, had sales of about 82, 83 million bushels. Need a pace on a 12-month year of about 39 million bushels to meet the USDA's projection. Again, if you look at it as a six-month marketing year, we need a pace of basically double that, about, which would be just under 80. So we're running at or above the pace we need to meet the USDA's projection if you cut it down to, again, half of a calendar year. So that's to the positive. And I think even though lead soybean futures, now the January contract, have fallen just like corn futures have and just like wheat futures have, still, if you look back to last summer, we have more of an uptrend, more of a positive trend on the bean market than we've seen, well, for either for wheat or for corn. And I think so much of that has to do with just the continuing strength of Chinese export demand for that product. I would say when you look at pace of U.S. soybean shipments, though, and you look at who the U.S. ships soybeans to, we're still seeing China by far and away the largest buyer of U.S. soybeans. But even with that, we're down 18% this year at this point in time compared to where we were a year ago. Again, large South American crop, particularly in Brazil, providing strong competition for us. And we're feeling it in terms of weaker cash prices right now, especially towards the tail end of what's left of harvest. Again, we're struggling in terms of futures and cash markets, and this mixed to struggling message that the market's observing on the export side isn't helping anything in terms of seeing some type of cash price recovery.
Well, once again, you have worked up your updated balance sheets for corn and wheat for new crop marketing year 17-18, and they're in your weekly notes on the trades, which are, by the way, listeners, on agmanager.info. Taking up what you've come up with on the corn price outlook, summing that up, it just seems that in about any scenario, this market's going to be hard-pressed to get back up above that $4 watermark.
Yes, I think we're at the place now where we'd be happy with 350 or 375 for the futures and give us 325 to 350 in a lot of cash locations around the state. Some of the better ones on yesterday's market for corn out in the western part of the state, again, you see 324, 332 at Garden City in Sublette. Sublette with that 332, Ulysses at 330. So again, even at our best bids, we're looking at prices that are below 335, below 340, something like that. So you wonder, again, what are the prospects for moving higher than that? Well, again, we're at the tail end of harvest. Piles of corn, grain, sorghum dot the countryside from community to community. You see them. So it's probably about an 80% chance that the USDA's projection, which is historically pretty conservative, of about 2.4, 2.5 billion bushels to carry over, 17% stocks to use, 320 prices, is probably right. Towards the end of this marketing year, there's still this issue out there to be dealt with, I think, in terms of what the slow planting of soybeans in Brazil will eventually bring about in terms of a contracted season for second crop corn down there. So move into the summertime months here in the U.S., so late spring and summer, could start to feel that. Of course, right now we just have abundant grain, and it's not really showing in the market. Probably about a 10% chance of that scenario, but again, we wouldn't see the fruit of that until we move out off into the summer. I think there's still some chance, say, call it 5% chance, we get to that January report and the USDA make some adjustment lower on their final corn yield number and their production number, you know, to the tune of 200-400 million bushels lower. And right now, to have 172-173 bushels per acre and a 14.3 billion bushel corn crop for 2017 won't change the underlying fundamentals a lot. We still have about 2 billion bushels of carryout. So here, the USDA has projected about 320. You could see from either higher exports, lower production, something up to 340, 350 eventually in the market. But again, those numbers aren't $4 corn or not 375. We're looking at 20 and 30 cent gains rather than any big home run that would dramatically change the market. For the dramatic change to come, what you'd see out there eventually would have to be something along the lines of dramatically increased ethanol demand, crop problems emerging as we head out off into spring of 2018, issues like that. Right now, we basically have a lot of supplies around and are wanting to gain 10, 15, 20 cents so people can get just a little bit better price for cash sales. That's kind of the situation we're in right now in the feed grain markets.
All right. And briefly here, you've gone through the same exercise on the wheat side. Anything more positive to say based on those numbers?
There's always the possibility of higher exports. We've had some emerging dry conditions. The last 30 days have been pretty dry for wheat production in our own country. Uncertainty about what can happen for the coming crop in the next year. So right now, we're probably in the mode of storing wheat, waiting to see what will happen once we get through the wintertime period, break dormancy in spring for winter wheat, and then see what we've got in terms of market prospects.
And again, do check out Dan's notes on the markets at agmanager.info, updated each week. Dan, always appreciate the time, and many thanks to you.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
He is Research and Extension Grain Market Economist for K-State, and he operates out of Northwest Kansas, Colby. That's Dan O'Brien, and we'll return shortly here on Agriculture Today.